إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu revealed in his kitab where he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. The ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, which we all are familiar with, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that all that is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all that you say and do, whether it's hidden or whether it is visible, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take hisab for these things. And if He wishes, He will punish, and if He wishes, He will forgive. This ayat, when this ayat was revealed, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that the meaning of this ayah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying in this ayah, was so heavy and was so tough for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain to contemplate on and to think about, that they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him, and they literally went and they went down on their knees before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa, and they said to him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us and commanded us to establish Salah, and we have established Salah. Allah told us to pray and we pray. And they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to pay Zakat and we pay Zakat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِاللَّهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account for whatever is there in your thoughts and minds, in your hearts, as well as your actions and speech. So whatever is visible and whatever is hidden. So they said, if this happens, then we will be destroyed. Because whatever we say and do, we have control over that. We can choose to do it, we can choose not to do it. But the thoughts in our hearts, the desires that we have and so on, these are not in our control. They come and go. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes account for these, then how can we? We'll perish. How can we survive? Now see Rasulullah ﷺ's reaction to this. Whenever I read these asbab and nuzul of these ayat, it always strikes me that simply as a question, simply as a statement, as a maruza, as a request, this sounds reasonable. What the Sahaba are saying, it sounds reasonable. They are saying that if Allah takes account for something that we have no control over, then what will happen to us? So it sounds reasonable. But see the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face became red with anger. And he said to the Sahaba, he said, are you going to be like the people before you? When something was revealed to them, they would say, Sami'na wa asayna. We hear, but we will not obey. And then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Qul, Sami'na wa atana, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. He said, say, we hear and we will obey. We hear and we obey. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَسِيرُ. Forgive us, O Rabb. Forgive us, O our Rabb. And to you is our return. Now, thing to remember here and understand here is that obedience in Islam is not blind obedience. Obedience is not without understanding. Obedience is without questioning. Without questioning does not mean without understanding. And this is a confusion that is in the minds of some people, where they say, how can we, you know, blindly obey? There is no blind obedience. There is obedience without questioning, but with understanding. With what understanding? With understanding who is giving the command. With understanding who is giving the command. To give an example to illustrate, Ta'ala Allahu al-Amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all examples. But just to understand, when you go to a doctor, if you go to a cardiac surgeon, you go to a cardiologist, and you have some problem with your heart, and he tells you, he prescribes for you a line of treatment, you may ask questions to understand how it is to be done. For example, if he tells you, take these tablets, you will ask a question, should I take it before my meals or should I take it after my meals? But nobody in his right senses will say, why this tablet? What is the chemical in this tablet? Why not something else? My grandfather used to eat something. Why are you not prescribing the same thing? Nobody will. I mean, if somebody asks these questions, the cardiologist will say, get out of here. I'm not interested. I don't have the time. You either trust me as a cardiologist or you don't trust me. So now if somebody is going to a cardiologist and he is not asking these questions, is he believing blindly? Or is he believing because he knows who the cardiologist is? He has satisfied himself that here is a man who is an expert. I don't have to ask him these questions. I have gone to him because he is an expert. And the same rule applies to any expert in any field. Whichever the field is. Once you have accepted that such and such a person is an expert, you are constructing a building, you go to a structural engineer, and the structural engineer is prescribing, okay, this is the grade of steel that you should use. You won't question him. Why this grade? Why not this grade? You went to the structural engineer because he knows what is to be done. So now if you are accepting what he is saying, it's not blind obedience. It is obedience with understanding of who is giving the command. Now what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu? So if the person understands who is Allah, then the question of obedience without question is it's a given. It's a foregone conclusion. So samana wa atana, O our Rabb, we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey whether we understand the reason for the command or not. Because one of the outcomes of talking to an expert is that it is entirely likely that the expert will tell you some things which you cannot understand because you don't have that level of knowledge. It doesn't mean that what he's saying is wrong. It just means that in any given area of knowledge, there are some things that you have to have a certain level of knowledge to understand. It's not that, you know, I mean, for example, I might say, well, I'm a, you know, PhD in philosophy and I've got this and that. And I go to a motor mechanic and the mechanic tells me something. Will I understand everything? No, that is not my area of expertise. So what do? Do I try to tell the mechanic what to do? If I tell the mechanic what to do, my car won't run. So I have to accept, even though, if you look at in terms of education, does the mechanic have a PhD? No, he doesn't have a PhD. Do I have a PhD? Yes, I have a PhD. So what? Big deal. My PhD does not help me in an area where that is not my knowledge. So the whole point is to understand this with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu knows what he is doing. And if Allah gives a command, it is not for Allah's benefit. It is for the benefit of the person who is being commanded. And this is the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reacted in this way, and he said that when you ask this question, when you say Allah is saying this, but this or that will raise a question, what you are effectively saying is that I don't trust what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. That is the reason why he got angry. And he gave them a command. He said, Qul, sami'na wa ata'na. Say, we hear and we obey. Ghufranaka Rabbana. O Allah, forgive us. O our Rabb, forgive us. Wa ilayka al-masir. To you is our return. Now when the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, and this is the beauty of the Sahaba, that the moment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, they immediately obeyed. So the moment, Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu says, the moment Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, the Sahaba did not ask a second question. They did not even say, Ya Rasulullah, you know, we actually did not mean that, we meant something else. Nothing. The moment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded, the Sahaba themselves said, سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. Now see the value of that. See the benefit of that obedience. Because when the Sahaba said this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sent Jibreel alayhi salam with the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. And what are the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah? Where do they begin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. See the value of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the words of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which were repeated by his sahaba, and Allah took the same words and return them as his kalam, to be recited in salah till the day of judgment, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the salah on the face of the earth. Until that moment, at best, those words were hadith. Of course, we have, you know, the hadith has its own importance, but the hadith is not Quran. But when they said this, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned the same words, Allah could have said the same thing in some other words. But Allah repeated the exact words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَقَالُوا, and they say, سَمَعْنَا وَعَطَانَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah did not say, and they obeyed me. No. Same words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned the words of Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as his own kalam. Jalla Jalalu. That is the wages of obedience. That is the honor of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this maqam and gave this daraja to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which were repeated by the sahaba rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted the sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted the sahaba. Because the original, their anxiety and fear was with regard to being questioned for things which are not in their control. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted the sahaba. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha. Laha ma kasabat wa alayha maktasabat. Allah said, you will not be questioned for, there will be no taklif on you. Allah does not give anyone any trial, tribulation, difficulty that they cannot bear. And for you is what you do. You will not be questioned for what is not in your control. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them how to make dua. Now see the beauty of this. I can teach you how to make dua. But that is between me and you. I am teaching you. Maybe I am right, maybe I am wrong. In any case, the dua, when I tell you make this dua, I am telling you to make the dua to whom? To myself? No. To Allah. Now when I am teaching you a way, make dua this way, do you have a guarantee that Allah will accept your dua if it is made in this way? There is no guarantee. Because dua is to somebody else. Dua is to Allah. I can only teach you. Do it like this. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. But what when the one to whom the dua is made is teaching you? Ask me like this. Then if he says, ask me like this, and if you ask him, how can he not accept? So being taught how to make dua by the one to whom the dua is being made. What is the level of this izzah that the sahaba got? So Allah taught them how to make dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah taught the Sahaba how to make dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these duas to make. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept these duas in our haqq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be among those who are obedient. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward us for that obedience in keeping with His majesty and grace. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.